This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. In Tunis this week, 30,000 people from 127 countries are meeting to discuss the economic effects of globalization under the theme Dignity for All. The event is the 2013 World Social Forum. Some 200 unionists are attending the forum. Issues being discussed include women's rights, racism, freedom for Palestine, the environment, and union organizing. One of the workshops attended by the unionists addressed the question of water supply. I talked to David Boies, a policy officer with Public Services International. The PSI represents public service unions at the world level. I asked him why the issue was considered so important by PSI's affiliated unions.
Well, the members of Public Services International, who represent a broad spectrum of the workers delivering quality public services every day, understands that the water and also energy and health, that these are fundamental to healthy societies. And we've made a strategic decision to focus on water because it is the first of the building blocks. And without access to clean water, well, you die. And many millions die needlessly from waterborne diseases. Half of all the hospital beds in the world are filled with patients suffering from waterborne diseases. So it's just so clear, like the nose on your face, that we've got to have universal access to quality and reliable water and sanitation services. It's very clear.
Why are unions so adamantly against the privatizing of water supply?
The privateers, especially in developing countries, they require 20 to 25% return on investment per year, which they export back into their headquarters and use not only to pay exorbitant CEO wages, but also to engage in further speculation or to pay their marketing arms. So that's the fundamental problem for the developing countries. In developed countries, one could argue that there's enough money to pay corporate profits, but we've run into a range of problems. One, for example, if we have to reduce the amount of water we consume, that doesn't increase corporate profits. So we need to have a different model in the developed countries. Rather than fixing leaks and opening up the streets to fix the pipes, they'll just pump more water through, and they have to find more sources, so depleting the aquifers, etc. But the private management goes further than that, because we know that private sector must maximize profits, and that in terms of social and environmental concerns, they're not really at the same level as profit maximization. So we see, again, across the world, regardless of rich or poor, that, for example, outsourcing is used heavily. So if you want to make profit out of water, there's only a few costs you can cut. It takes a lot of energy to pump water. Water is very heavy. That you typically can't cut so easily. You have to use a fair amount of chemicals to treat water to make sure that it's safe and potable, so you can't really reduce the treatment costs, but what you can reduce is the labor costs.
You attended a workshop on water supply at the forum. What were some of the conclusions reached by the people at the workshop?
Well, we've actually had two workshops so far, and water as a commons, water as belonging to all. And this is about changing the dynamic where what we're seeing now with the green economy, they're trying to put a value on everything. What are the ecosystem services that nature provides to us, and how do we put a value on them so that we can properly understand it, so that our finance ministers can understand it and the banks can understand it? And we're actually talking about a different approach, and one where it's more about people and planet and not about profits. But this requires a sea change in how the various levels, whether it's of government, of private sector, and especially of trade unions and civil society, approach the issue. So that's a very far-reaching understanding, but there were a number of other issues that came up as well. For example, we're seeing in Latin America a big movement against the mining companies. And we have a big Canadian company, Eldorado Gold, which is mining as fast as it can, but geez, they need a lot of water to process the minerals, and they use a lot of mercury and cyanide, which then ends up working its way back into the water system. So the downstream populations are heavily affected. So there was an awareness also at the conference at the World Social Forum that we need to expand beyond the question just of water supply to look at the whole chain of the ecological footprint, the whole water cycle, to ensure that there is appropriate decision-making that protects people and planet, which then leads to the question of our democracies and who's running the show around here. And what we're finding, even at the level of the UN, now the UN General Assembly voted in favor of a resolution on the human right to water and sanitation in July 2010. This is an important marker, but the implementation is a bit lacking. And in part, the reasons include that there is a growing and encroaching corporate control even of the UN. And not to mention national government. This is not a question of money. It's a question of political will. And so what we're very clear about is that water is not only life, but water is democracy. If we don't make the right decisions, if we don't have enough political engagement, and not just at the ballot box, but at the community level, we're never going to solve these issues, whether it's water supply, whether it's climate change, whether it's social justice and equity. So that's what's so interesting about the water issue here, is it opens new perspectives on how we organize ourselves as human beings living collectively. And there's very, very many implications which make the water sector so deep, so difficult, fairly controversial, but also a source of passion and dynamism and collective action. It's very, very exciting here.